Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man. All right, hey guys, I'd like to welcome Pablo J. Rosario, and he's super cool guest. I'm really excited to have him on. He spent the last 5 years working as a program director of an international personal development company. I believe that's called the Style Life Academy, which is run by Neil Strauss. And there he designed conferences for CEOs, entrepreneurs, executives, and business owners on the topics of leadership, communication, confidence, dating, relationships, and overcoming inner conflict, as well as redefining meaning in life and finding your purpose. So welcome to the show, Pablo.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. I was like I mentioned earlier, I was listening to your show and everything, and I just got hooked with all the topics and with the way the conversations were had, and I was thinking, oh, this looks so fun. I want to reach out to them and see if I can help and add any value in any kind of way.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I'm curious, how did you find the podcast in the first place?
Being in the dating and relationship field, I like to always learn. I mean, no matter how long I've always been doing this, I always like to learn. I always like just to see what other people are talking about, because I'm always a student. That's the way I think. And so just going through iTunes and everything, I would listen to different podcasts, and I came across yours, and I just, like the topic of the conversation, because I felt that they were real, if you know what I mean. They were real conversations, things that, people really think in their head. I mean, I think there is one way, while I understand that, of course you always want to come off educated, you want to come off sophisticated, but at the same time, people don't want to be preached at. They want to have a normal conversation. They want to talk to someone like, they're talking, at home, where they're honest and, they're saying what's really on their mind. And that's how I came across it.
Well, cool, man. I appreciate that feedback. I'm glad. I'm glad I'm coming across that way. And the other people I have on the show, I just try to keep it laid back and yeah, just have a chat. tell us.
No, it definitely comes off. Yeah.
Cool. No, thanks. And tell me more about your story. How'd you get into this world? And how old are you, by the way?
I'm 31.
Okay. Yeah, tell us your story.
Actually started when I was 10, 11 years old. That I'll never forget it. That specifically was the moment that started me on the journey that I am now. I was about 10, 11 years old, back in school, and I was on the playground. And just like any other kid, I'm just having a good old time. At the time, I was, seeing this girl. And I mean, a 10-year-old with a girlfriend, right? And
started early.
I was in the playground playing around, and then I remember her friend came up to me, and her friend goes, "Hey, Pablo, so and so is actually gonna go out with this kid named Angel for like 2 weeks. But if she doesn't like him, she'll come back to you." And in the moment, I played it off. In the moment, I was like, "Sure, whatever, I don't care." But I'm not gonna lie, Robbie. In that moment, my heart broke. And then after that moment, though, I promised myself that I was never going to feel like that again. I was never going to be second place to anyone. I was never going to be a consolation prize, because that's what I felt like in the moment. And so from then on, started my education. I went on Google. How do you talk to girls? How do you get better with girls? And, I came across, early websites and things like that. And I started to incorporate them, do more and more. And I lost my glasses. I got contacts. I went through a phase where I modeled some of the guys I idolized on TV. So I would watch all the James Bond movies, and I would mimic the way they spoke, even from their eye contact. Like, if we were to meet in person, I could tell you the different types of eye contact. Even from their eye contact, I would watch, I would watch just long dialogues and see the way they spoke, the way they slowed down their voice. I would even look at magazines and see the way people dressed. So I went through a complete transformation. It was actually pretty interesting, because there was a certain point where I left my hometown to go to a different school. During that time away, my transformation started to happen. Then when I returned back to my hometown to my friends, I specifically remember I saw a girl that I was friends with. And in the past, I was super nervous to talk to her, super nervous. But this time around, through my little transformation, it's like I had a second chance, something that a lot of people don't get, you know, second chance at the girl that you always had a crush on. Mm-hmm. But this time around, I was a little different. I was a little different. And rather than doing the same thing I would do before, which would be just say, like, hi, my name is Pablo, or something like that, I teased her, you know. Mm-hmm. I came in, she was actually in my class, and I go, hey, you're in my seat. Uh-huh. And she turned around, and then she started laughing. And we became friends after that. And then, you know, later on, I mean, as I got to college and everything, you know, I started to actually realize something. I started to realize that, for me, the key to getting better with women was actually being a better version of myself. You know, so I got more into self-improvement, started to learn more about communication, started to learn about leadership, started to learn about how to, you know, take care of inner turmoil, inner conflict, and things like that. And then, you know, through a series of fortunate events, I got to volunteer for a Neil Strauss event. It was over in New York, and he liked what I did there. And then he invited me to come on staff, which was pretty awesome. And then he actually found out that I was actually pretty good at Tinder at the time. I was super nervous. I didn't want to say anything, you know, yeah. Because, you know, somebody that, you know, I looked up to, and I, you know, and I didn't think I was worthy. I'm not worthy. but, you know, he found out because I would give advice to everybody on Tinder. And then from then on, he gave me more and more opportunity to do more coaching, to lead more conferences. And then, you know, over the years, my own little style developed, if you will. And it's something I just fell back into, you know. For me, I know what it's like to, you know, go home feeling regret. I know what it's like to say, man, I wish I would have kissed her, you know, and I know what it's like. And so I don't want my fellow man to feel the same thing. You know, because I didn't have anybody like that growing up for me. I had to go to the internet to find it. And sometimes the internet may not give the best information.
That's for sure.
And so I wanted to be that for, you know, my fellow man, you know, that wasn't there, that I didn't have growing up. And, you know, here I am, you know, now at 31, you know, I've been lucky enough to teach and coach alongside some great names, have great experiences, and then help a bunch of guys. It's actually been pretty fun.
Yeah, it's not a bad gig, right? And you know, I've been doing it about 10 years, and I think it's one of the most rewarding jobs and just a rewarding thing to do. Because as you said, if you can help someone to kind of get over those inner demons, like, nothing feels better than that.
Oh, no, 100%. And I'm sure you can relate. Like, it's mind blowing, you know, for some people, like some guys, they just want to be able to say hi. That's all they want to be able to do. And then just when you see them, just have those first interactions, you give them a couple pointers. You say, hey, maybe turn your body this way, maybe slow down. And then all of a sudden, they're talking to people, having a conversation. They're over the moon. I mean, there's nothing better than that, really.
Yeah, I had a guy recently in my program who had, I can't remember if he was out of a relationship for a long time or divorced or something, but basically had his first kiss in like years. And, you know, before he was, you know, good looking guy, cool guy, was in the game, but, you know, a bad relationship can really just, you know, take the wind out of your sails. And then it can be so tough to get back into it. Now he's kicking ass. So, you know, a little thing like that, like you said, just being able to say hi, walking up, having the confidence to start a conversation can work wonders for your life. But,
I really can.
Yeah. So, tell me more about, you know, how you got involved in the academy via Tinder, and what was your Tinder stuff? I'm curious about that. How'd you become this like Tinder phenom?
So, prior to working at the academy, I was actually an inside sales agent for a satellite TV company. So my job consisted of sitting in a cubicle for 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, just talking with people on the phone every day, asking like, hey, Do you want to buy cable? Do you want to buy cable? And
company?
So the conversation, Dish Network, Dish right. Network.
There's a, that's a brutal job, man, but fuck, that's a great way to get over any sort of anxiety. I mean, sales jobs are great because it just gives you the, you know, the attitude of not giving a fuck, but you have to go through a lot of rejection. That's for sure.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, you don't understand the frustration and the types of conversations. So you really get into it really fast. But the funny thing is that I was having the same kinds of conversation over and over again. So it got to a point where it was all autopilot. So while I was talking on the phone, I feel like I could say this because I don't work there anymore. But while I'm talking on the phone, I'd be on Tinder, working on Tinder. And so I pretty much would have almost 10 hours of Tinder practice every day. And it got, you know, and it got to the point where, you know, if you do anything for 10 hours every day, you'll get pretty good at it. And then what happened was I just came up with a series of conversation starters, like a whole little format, a little formula, you know, thoughts and principles that came out of it. And the funny thing is, so when I started working for the academy and stuff, Tinder had become the new hot thing. And at the time, there was no one really talking about it. And so, you know, kind of behind the scenes, you know, I would notice some guys on Tinder. I would say, hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you say this? Why don't you say this? They would get results. And they're like, oh, wow, this is great. Oh, I can't believe this worked. Great. And then, you know, it got back to Neil. And then he was like, listen, you should write an ebook. And why don't you just do, why don't you teach a course on it for the academy? And I was like, hell yes.
Do you think Tinder is still as good as it used to be when you were, you know, writing the ebook? And are you still doing it a bunch or not as much?
Actually, I'm not doing it at all. I mean, okay. These days for me, I mean, there's still people out there that are still having fun, having good times with Tinder. But in my opinion right now, it's not like it used to be. Yeah. Back in the day, you know, you could connect with people a lot easier. People were actually open to talking and to meeting up. These days, it's like Instagram, where people just swipe to pass the time and get validation.
Yeah.
I mean, the good thing about it, I would say this, the good thing about it, though, is that there are still some people out there that are, you know, looking to meet up, still looking to, you know, find something. And when you find those people are much more likely to meet up, for something to develop out of there. I know, like, you know, there are people that still want a relationship or still, you know, want a fuck buddy and stuff like that. So when you find those people, though, you know, I would say, you know, when you hit hard. Let's just say that.
And what are you doing to meet women yourself these days?
Well, currently I'm off the market right now. I've been in a relationship for 2 years, but what I did to actually meet my girlfriend is, you know, I did something counterintuitive. I mean, while the rest of the world was on Tinder, I went out to meeting people in real life. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was actually something, and the reason because of this, actually, this is just my opinion, though, but I think it's actually like the perfect time. Everyone's talking about, oh, you know, it's hard to meet people online and stuff like that. I'm like, that's actually great, because there are starting to be fewer and fewer people that are actually great in person. So you can meet somebody on Tinder, but I don't know if this is your experience or the experience of any other listeners, but you know, they talk and they seem great online, but then when you meet them in person, the connection's not there. And by that time, you drove all the way out to the meetup, took the time out of your day. You're trying to force something that's not there, and then time wasted and back to Tinder.
Yep.
Whereas with me, you know, if you can be a superstar in person, then you're standing out amongst everybody who doesn't know how to talk to people. And so, one of my main things that I tell everybody whenever I coach people is essentially to create a social calendar. And the idea behind that is to set up your life in a way where you are doing something, you're going out to places where there are that where you are one, enjoying yourself, and two, there are a lot of people, preferably a lot of pretty women. And so that way your life is, you have constant opportunities to meet people. And not only that, typically, especially with, very beautiful girls, very beautiful women, typically relationships or connections are a lot easier to form when you guys have a common interest. Like you guys both go to the same, yoga studio. Like, for example, I met mine at a salsa class. So salsa, which I highly recommend for everybody. Trust me.
Trust me. Guys.
The ratios are always.
It's all chicks in there.
Oh my gosh. The ratio is so much in our favor.
Yeah.
Trust me. So, but every Monday I would go to salsa and every Monday I'm dancing across a beautiful woman. And then one particular Monday, it's funny. My now girlfriend, she actually approached me. She saw me dancing and she saw the way I interacted. She actually came and approached me. And, there's a whole lot, from there we've been dating 2 years. It's been a whole lot better than, spend all that time on Tinder and stuff like that. And so with having the social calendar, you're always surrounded. You always have opportunities to talk to women. And not only that, you're doing something fun. And the beautiful part about it, not to get too much ahead, but the beautiful part about it, it actually makes you seem like a person who has stuff going on in their life. Because whenever, for example, you meet somebody, let's say you meet somebody on salsa, right? And rather than saying like, hey, do you want to go out for drinks? Which is an okay date type of thing. For me, I have more of a more of an adventure approach.
Mm-hmm.
The way I would do it is because of my social calendar is if I meet them on Monday, I'll say, hey, actually on Thursday, I'm going to this place that I normally go to where, it's fantastic. And, they do this X, Y, and Z, all this great things. And then likely that date is more likely to be more interesting. You're apt to come off more interesting. And she's more likely to say yes, because it's a lot different from just, hey, there's drinks. And also like, wow, this guy has stuff going on for him.
Mm-hmm.
So then that way, just who you are and the way you live your life, that's the attractive part.
Do you have any, the salsa dancing is a great recommendation. And because not only are you learning how to dance, but the great ratio, you're also getting more comfortable with physical touch and, becoming more masculine, and obviously knowing how to dance mm-hmm. is important in other venues as well. Do you have any other recommendations for other sort of things you can put on your social calendar?
Yeah, sure. The number one thing is that places that you enjoy, mm-hmm. and while putting yourself slightly out of your comfort zone. So that's important. But I would say rock climbing, fantastic.
Yeah,
that's a great community
for sure.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find a lot of very fit, athletic women there, sexy ones there. Yoga for sure. There's that. There's yoga. There is what's another awesome one? Things to go to. You can go. Oh my goodness! There is kickball. Definitely in the United States. There are these co-ed athletic leagues where you can play soccer, you can play volleyball, you can play kickball. And those are fantastic for meeting women. You guys are having fun. You're automatically going to become you're automatically going to have a connection because of you're already on the same team. So that's easy right there. So any co-ed sports league is fantastic. Highly recommend those. Where else, which would be pretty awesome.
Those are great. If you can think of any more awesome, but I mean, that should, and anyone who's curious for places to go, I mean, fuck, they could do all of those. You could do those Monday through Thursday and have your whole week lined up and you get in shape and
exactly.
meet cool people. I think meeting people through some sort of sport or athletic endeavor is the best way to go.
Oh yeah. 100%. One big thing that I've seen is that, in coaching guys, one of my favorite questions is like, so what does your normal day look like? What does your normal week look like? And a lot of times, one of their biggest problems, they never go anywhere where there are women.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you supposed to, meet women and get better at this stuff if you're never around them? If your day consists of waking up, going to work and coming back, you have to put yourself with the fish on.
It really makes it tough. And then you're sitting on Tinder, just, swiping and never going anywhere. And it's,
never going
you wonder why you're lonely. Well, there's a reason.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, real quick, now I know, like I said, like, you know, Tinder, I've not what it used to be. However, I would still use it. I would still recommend guys to use it to supplement, yeah, you know, their dating. Because if you think about it, you think about it kind of like, you know, like an entrepreneur. So an entrepreneur, they always say entrepreneurs, they have multiple income streams, right? Same thing with dating. You want to have different avenues of meeting women. Because the name of the game at the end of the day is essentially to meet a woman. So what, you know, whatever works for you. I mean, for me, happened to be salsa. You know, for you, it may be, I don't know, going to yoga, maybe taking a walk in the park or going out, you know, Friday, Saturday nights. For others, it may be Tinder. But it's always great to have multiple avenues. So that way, we have more chances and more opportunities. The more opportunities you have, the higher the practice you'll have, the better you'll get, and the more likely you'll be to meet somebody.
Yeah, I agree completely. And it's, you know, you could always just kind of use it passively as well. Just have a profile up that's optimized. And if some girl messages you, great. You know, don't do, you limit yourself to a certain number of swipes. Any other dating profiles I used to fuck around on Seeking Arrangements and some of these sugar daddy sites a little bit. I don't really do that anymore because I've got a pretty good social circle out here in Ukraine. But have you any recommendations on those sorts of things?
Yeah. So there are a couple of different ones that do well. Bumble is another good one. Bumble, for those that don't know about it, similar to Tinder. The only difference is that the women message you first. And if they don't message you within 24 hours, they lose a connection. So that's a good one. And that one, it tends to give you better results than Tinder because the women on there are actually looking to talk to people. Hinge is another good one. Another one is Coffee Meets Bagel.
Guys in my coaching program have been raving about Hinge recently. I know it's been around for a long time, but for whatever reason, recently they say it's kind of like the new thing, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't use it out here.
I haven't tried it, but I hear a lot of great things about it. And but essentially, you know, in my opinion, you know, most dating apps are more or less the principles of working them are more or less the same, you know, more or less. The thing is, you know, overall, like my thoughts on, like, you know, what I used to do on Tinder was, I guess funny, I had this whole formula, but the basic principle behind it was essentially, you know, like once you matched up, they already like you, you know, and now it's just a matter of just confirming what they're already thinking, because when they see your picture in their profile, they have an image in their head of what you are, what you like. And now it's just your job just to confirm it by being the awesome, funny, you know, charismatic person that you are. Then once you feel comfortable with them, then you ask them out to something low key. Cause here's an important thing to remember. And this will probably be a game changer for everyone. Like this mind shift is just that, dating online is different for women than it is for men. Right. Because let me ask you, Robert, right? When's the last time you were scared for your life?
Can't remember, which is a good thing.
Okay, which is a good thing, right? You ask a woman that, she will tell you a pretty recent time. Because imagine you're a 5'6" woman meeting a strange 6'200" person by yourself. You know, while he may be cute, you don't know him. And so that fear is real for women. And so if you understand that, and just make sure, like, listen, as long as you don't come off creepy, you make it as safe as possible, you'll really get a lot further. And so, you know, just keeping that in mind will change a lot of things. Trust me.
Anything specific you would do once you matched up with a girl?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, here we go. So actually, I'll do you one better. This is my favorite thing to teach people. It was a way to get a date without sending one message.
Okay.
All right. So, and what I would do is on my profile, I would list three things about me. Two of them true, one of them false. And then at the bottom, under that, I would say, guess which one is a lie, and the first round is on me. And the reason why that works beautifully, and I'm telling you, I would get messages, they would message me, and if they would get it wrong, I would go, ha-ha, first round's on you. Or if they got it right, I would say, oh, I guess the first round's on me. But the beauty behind that is that the minute they message you, they're already agreeing to a date because they're taking the challenge.
Yeah.
And the beautiful part about it is that you're giving them something to comment on. You're pretty much, you're starting the, you're giving them a freebie on how to start the conversation.
Yeah.
And
great.
Yeah. And you don't know how many times I would, you know, that would happen. And then, you know, they would guess and I'll go, ha ha, joke's on you. We would talk for a little bit and then we'd see, and then I'd see what kind of place we'd like to go out to. And I go, hey, time to pony up on that drink there. All right. I'm thinking 8 o'clock, this location. All right. You better not cheat me out of my drink.
Yeah. It puts the social pressure on them too, to not flake since they owe you the drink.
Right. Exactly. They have, you know, they committed to it. So,
yeah. So tell me about this epic date formula you mentioned.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I'm happy about that. So that's one thing that I noticed. Like I mentioned before, I hate boring dates. And for me, maybe just me and my personality, I don't like the cliche, let's get drinks, let's grab dinner. You know, for me, I don't like that. For me, I like to create memories. And that's the whole thing behind the epic date formula. I created it actually during my relationship. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, you know, I really don't want to get into the habit of just doing boring Netflix and chill dates. You know,
this could be fun under the right circumstances,
know,
but.
Oh, no. And it can. And with the epic date formula. Yeah. No, those can. And with the epic, I'm telling you, with the epic date formula, you can make them great, right? Yeah. So the purpose behind it, long story short, is to make it super memorable, something that she can brag about, and also to set the bar very high for anybody after you. Mm-hmm. All right. And so essentially, there are four parts to it, right? The first part is that you need a theme for the entire day, something. You know, if you think about it, like kind of like a genre, you know, same way how you have horror, you have comedy, things like that. You need a theme for the date, something that encapsulates the whole date. And I'll give you an example in a second. The second part two, is that you need rules to the date. All right, these rules are like rules of a game, and that's what makes it fun. You could do some things, you can't do some things. You have to do certain things like this. That's what makes it fun. The part three is that you need accessories. Accessories is what actually turns it into a real world. And what I mean by that is maybe you're wearing like a special jacket. Maybe you're wearing glasses. Maybe you're dressed a certain way. You know, if you ever think about, you know, Comic-Con, for instance, you know, people dressed up and it's literally like you're in a different world. And there's a psychological principle that the clothes that you wear does affect how you perceive reality, or how you are perceived rather. And the last part four, is that you need two locations for the date. One where the actual date's happening, and then the second part, it's a low key one where you guys can connect and get a little closer, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. and an example is this. So one date that I had was the nerd date that I created, the nerd date. And the idea, the theme, that we were nerds. So the date is that we went to this place in Los Angeles called The Last Bookstore in LA. It's an antique bookstore that actually has a maze made of books. And the rule of it, we made a game out of it. We each had to pick a book and convince the other person of what the book's about. So it's like a game of bullshit. Okay. And if you call the person out on it and you were right, that person was buying drinks at the next location. And as far as accessories, we wore suspenders. We wore glasses with tape on them. We hiked up our pants really high. And so we went all out. And it was awesome. And we did another one. Another one was a, a kung fu date. I found out she likes the same kung fu movies I do. And so this is where you talk about the Netflix and chill type of movie. We put on Netflix, we put on the kung fu movie, but we had, while we were watching it, we were wearing kimonos while eating Chinese food and having sake bombs.
I like
and,
it.
And so, yeah, and so either way you spin it, as long as you have a theme, you add rules to it or parameters, you add accessories and two locations, then it's always going to be fun. You can even, and it's funny, we even created something called the Boring People Date, where we did the dinner in the movie, but we actually played it up to just exaggerate how boring people have dates.
Okay.
And even then it was still a great time. She told her girlfriend, they're like, what? You guys did what? Like, I took her to a trampoline place, where we all jumped on trampoline. I took her rock climbing. We went to this observatory and had an outer space date. And oh my goodness, what else? A whole bunch of things. But the key important thing is this, right? It's your excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's going to follow your excitement. She's going to follow your enthusiasm. So it really doesn't matter what kind of date you plan. If you're not excited about it, she's not. So, I mean, we even had this other date. We called it the little kids date. Like, we were actually little kids. We went to a museum. We went to a museum that was made of candy. Afterwards, we went and got this this ice cream made with nitrous oxide, I believe. And one of the rules was we had to hold hands the entire way. Like, you know how you hold hands with a little kid when they cross the street?
Yeah.
And so every time we cross the street, we had to hold hands. And so, like, we were little kids, but it was the enthusiasm that made it happen.
Sure. So what do you do prior to the date to get her to, like, agree to these, kind of, because if a girl, I guess on one hand it's great, because if a girl's kind of, like, standoffish or lukewarm about the date, she's probably going to flake anyways. So maybe when you, mm-hmm. When you're like, let's do this and that, if they don't seem mm-hmm. very enthusiastic, I guess that's a good litmus test to be like, oh, whatever, she's going to flake anyways. But did you ever run into any sort of resistance to doing something like this where they're like, oh, no, let's just meet for coffee or drinks or something?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have. And at that point, you have to be flexible. Mm-hmm. You have to be flexible. If that's the case, then okay, cool. We'll meet for coffee or drinks first, right? We'll meet for coffee and drinks first. And then what I'll do is that during that date, I'll still make that date amazing. Maybe we'll play some type of drinking game. Maybe we'll do like some type of I spy drinking game to make that game fun, which will set the foundation for the big date.
Gotcha. That could be a good second date, yeah. Follow-up date. Keep the first one short.
Exactly.
I think, yeah, if a girl's like kind of standoffish, my favorite thing to do is just be like, all right, cool. You meet her for like 15 minutes and then even, 15, 30 minutes at the most. And right when you feel like she's starting to really like you, then you leave. And now she's in hardcore chase mode from then on out.
I love hearing that. It's funny because, my thought is something different, even though I've done that before, yeah. but for me, if everything's going great that night, I'm going to extend it. I'm going to extend it, and just see what can happen. And of course I'll end it before it gets, too low.
Yeah.
But there's been plenty of times where it started off like a coffee date and we went somewhere else and then went somewhere else. And before you know, we're out all night long.
Yeah, those are the best. And then, end up back at your place. But
back at your place, yeah.
For sure. That's cool because it's, any time on a date, once – what I always tell guys is once they kind of get through the boring small talk crap, they can skip that if they wanted to, if they had really good social skills. But once they get through that, it's all about kind of creating mm-hmm. an adventure and creating a connection. And the best way to do that is through mm-hmm. some sort of shared experience, as you're mentioning. So all these things are basically like shared experiences, which makes you feel closer to the person, mm-hmm. makes you feel like you know them better, and, makes it way easier to make something happen, as you said, opposed to just, going to coffee, going to a drink, going to watch a movie. So boring.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
exactly.
I dig the creativity, and I think a lot of guys are really kind of missing that, and they're just kind of doing what they think they're supposed to do. Oh, I have to take her to a nice restaurant, or I have to take her to see a cool movie, or I have to take her to a cool show, and they're making it too much about the activity, or like they're trying to act too normal instead of just having fun and like dressing up like fucking nerds and running around a bookstore or
Exactly.
Yeah, why not? So I like that.
Yeah, and on top of that too. And on top of that, you want to go to places that you like, because here's the way it works in my head. Like, let's say, you know, you guys have a second, third, fourth date, and then you guys, you know, find yourself together dating for like 6 months or something like that. You don't want to hide the fact that you're a nerd. You don't want to hide the fact that you like rock climbing. You know, bring her into your world.
Right.
Right. Make your world exciting and bring her into it. And then that way, right off the bat, she knows what she's getting. She knows who you are. You don't have to fake it or anything like that. You don't have to be something that you're not, which is what a lot of guys have a lot of trouble with. I mean, I tell them, like, listen, just be the most awesome version of you and then put that out into the world. Don't try to be, you know, smooth if you're not smooth. If you're a little quirky, be quirky. You know, if you are a little nervous, then be nervous. Just own it.
Yeah.
And then that way, you know, there's no surprises and you're more comfortable. I mean, imagine if you're not, let's say you're the type that doesn't like clubs. Let's say for example, right? You don't, you're not the type that likes loud clubs if they have stuff like that, but you want to impress a girl. So you go, oh yeah, let me check out this jumping new club on Friday night, 'cause I know she'll like that. You'll be so out of your element and she'll notice that.
She'll notice
that. You know?
You're just an idiot. Not knowing what the fuck you're doing.
Like, I don't know. Why is he sweating? What are you sweating so much?
You won't even get in.
No. Exactly. I mean, she'll be all confused when you order, like, a mimosa or something like that, or something weird drink.
I'm going to definitely do that next time.
Right?
Just to fuck around. Can I get a strawberry Jack? Yeah.
I just drink it with a straight face and tell her, no, this is mine.
Yep. That's how we do. Oh, you want a bottle? Nah, we're getting strawberry daiquiris. So one thing you
make
mentioned.
Make sure you get the umbrella.
Yeah, right? You mentioned this in our Instagram, you know, conversation, and this kind of goes in flow kind of after the date formula. You were saying, you're talking about, you know, to have that define the relationship or quote unquote talk. So tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, this is something that I struggled with and I think a lot of guys struggle with.
Yeah, it's everyone, that everyone at
you
some
know,
point.
Yeah.
Either they struggle with it or they become a cheater and then they, you know, get in trouble.
Then you just find yourself in bigger trouble. Yeah. You know, a lot of guys, like, you know, they're like, you know, they're scared to let a girl know, like, hey, I just want something fun. I just want something casual, you know, just a sexual relationship. Or on the other hand, there's some guys who they're looking for a girlfriend and they want to make that known, but they just don't know how to do it. And then, like you said, what ends up happening, either they end up cheating or B, you're in this weird situation where she goes, so what are we doing? And you don't have a good answer. And then it blows up in your face. And in my experience though, that doesn't have to happen. And you do that. I mean, I call it having to talk, but there's a way you have to talk. The way people currently do it is they either A, don't say anything at all and just say, you know, fuck it, I'll figure it out when it happens. Or they do like an ultimatum where they go, listen, I just want to have sex. You know, I'm not looking for a relationship. Take it or leave it. And that whole take it or leave it thing is very adversarial. You know, it's like you versus her.
Yeah.
And the only answer is yes or no. It's only yes or no. And same thing, even if you want a relationship. And so, and it puts people, like when you put people up against a corner like that, things don't work out in your favor, in nobody's favor, right? So the way I talk about it, the way essentially I talk, make it happen, like make it, instead of making an ultimatum, make it a discussion. Something sort of like a discussion / interview / negotiation. And the way you do about it, this is the way I always tell people to go about it, is like, for example, like one of the best ways to go, like, hey, what's your definition of dating? And you can have this conversation on the first date, too. That way you can knock it out first, second date. Like, hey, what's your definition of dating? What's that for you? And then they get to tell you theirs. And then you go, okay, cool, that's interesting. Well, you know, this is my definition of dating. What are your thoughts on that? And the way that came about is I remember a while ago, I was dating this one girl, and, I could tell the tension was starting to build up because we didn't have the talk. But then I asked her, what's your definition? And her definition was, you know, I date one person at a time with the intention of going to a long-term relationship.
Okay.
I go, okay, cool. No, I understand that. Not judging. You know, cool. That's your thing. I respect that. No judging. My definition is, for me, is seeing multiple people, enjoying the company of multiple people. And then when I find one whose company I enjoy the most, I focus on that one. And then after that, decide if I want to continue and be exclusive and things like that. And then now she knew my definition. And then after that, she was okay with it. She goes, oh, okay. The only thing I just ask, cool, if you're going to see other women, that's fine. I just ask that, you know, you wrap it up. And also when you're with me, you don't talk about them or you don't text them on your phone. I said, cool, I can respect that.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening is that she gave me her definition. I gave her my thoughts about it. I gave her my definition. And she gave me her thoughts about it. And then rather than saying it's one way or the highway, you know, we had a conversation. We found that middle ground, like, oh, is this okay with you? Is this not okay with you? What if we did this instead? How do you define this? Oh, okay. And then you could find that middle ground. So it's the same thing. So even if you do want a sexual relationship, you don't have to be embarrassed about it. There's nothing wrong, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, especially, I mean, I speak for the guys, but, you know, yeah, I feel like some guys, they feel like, oh man, I can't just say, you know, I just want sex. I just want to have a sexual relationship. No, there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly okay. The only thing I say with that is just, you know, to save yourself a world of headache in the future is to say like, hey, you know, these are the type of relationships, you know, I'm into right now. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
And then she can give you her opinion, right? She can give you her opinion. And then through that, likely you're going to find, right, that they are okay with it. And not only are they okay with it, now they know what the most important thing is, they know where they stand. It's this whole thing about security and certainty. They know where they stand. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, like, once you have that, the sex and the relationship is so much better because she's not in the back of her head thinking, oh, is he with other women? Is he lying to me? No, she knows what it is. She agreed to it. So that way there's no manipulation, right? Because that's a big thing, especially with the dating community. And like, oh, it's manipulative. I get it. I'm not a fan of it. By having a discussion, she agrees to it. It's her decision. And being as her decision, anytime a woman is the one making the decision, everything after that comes in full force. Like the sex is fantastic. The attention is fantastic because it was her decision. She now knows where she stands. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really cool. It's a great way to broach the subject, which can be really awkward. And it's always good, yeah. I think, for you as the guy to be the leader and bring it up first. Because, you know, women are going to look to the guy to see when he brings it up. And if he doesn't, and she has to bring it up, it's usually not going to go very well. Because she's going to have her preconceived notions. Or she's going to be like, you know, already had the conversation in her head with you, right? And most of the time,
yeah.
It's like, all right, well, he hasn't had the talk because he's out banging other girls. So I'm going to tell him it's either, you know, my way or the highway. And you know, I'm looking for something, you know, I don't want to just date some player, right? And that conversation isn't going to go well because she's no longer in a open sort of listening mode. And you know, let's find out how we can make this work mode. She's in a, like, you know, I'm going to fucking tell this guy what it's going to be. And if he doesn't, if he doesn't agree, then peace out. Right. She's already ready to do that. So.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. I'm a big favorite. Like, listen, like, you be the man, you be the guy, and bring it up first. And not only that, too, it's super sexy.
Yeah. And then too, if she starts the conversation and she has that aggressive energy, I think a lot of guys who would have been comfortable saying what you said, for example, about wanting to date and wanting to, you know, see what's out there before committing, once now they feel nervous, they're not going to say that. They're going to be like, oh, no, I mean, I'm kind of like open to whatever. Then they're going to agree to some sort of monogamous relationship that they didn't really want. And now that they agreed, their only option is to either stick with it, which will build resentment and regret, which will ultimately kill it, or they'll cheat. And obviously, that's not a good option either.
Exactly. So many guys, like, they feel like, they, like one of the things, at least, I mean, again, I'm speaking for the guys, is when, and I've been a victim of this before, and I take responsibility because it was my fault because I didn't speak up, but is like you said, unwillingly committing to a relationship because you didn't want to have that talk.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then like you said, you either cheat, you build resentment, and then it's a bad experience all around. And then, you know what I mean?
And so, maybe yeah. It would have been
and the beautiful part.
A good relationship too, but it was just, you know, you weren't ready. Yeah, it's such a important thing to not fuck up is the define the relationship.
Yes.
And as a guy, not only do you not yes. have to not fuck it up, but you have to have it at the right time. And you have to have the awareness to yes. know when the right time is.
Yes. And you know what? I want to throw this in as well. So this style of conversation is also it can also be used even if you're in a relationship. And even more so when it comes to sex, because there are people out there, you know, they like certain things. They like their hair pulled. You know, maybe I like my nipple tickled. You know, who knows?
Sure.
What, you know, and people are afraid to voice what they like and what they don't like. And then they end up having just sucky ass sex.
Right.
And so you can even use this. You can use the same conversation in sex. So let's say you're seeing a girl. And then, you know, maybe you want to introduce hair pulling. Maybe you want to do spanking. Maybe you want her to touch you in a certain way. And do the same way by saying like, hey, I saw this the other day. What are your thoughts on that? Like, that's the magic phrase right there.
That's good.
You know, what do you think about that? What are your thoughts on that? And then she can give her opinion, you know, whatsoever. And then you give your opinion on the subject. That's not to say that you ask her to do it. Or that you're going to do it, it's just a conversational topic to get her thoughts on it. If you find out she doesn't like hair pulling, you're like, cool. You know, you can say like, listen, you know, I think hair pulling sexy, but I can see where you're coming from. All right, cool. And then now you know.
Yeah, that's great. It's such an easy way to probe for information without looking like someone who's trying to push something. Like, let's say you're really into BDSM and you're a dom, right? And you're looking for a sub.
Right.
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 Instead of saying like, hey, what are your thoughts on BDSM? I guess you could, but what was the phrase you used? It was
you could say something along the lines of like hey, I saw this thing the other day on, you know, BDSM, this article, and it said this, that, and the other. What are your thoughts on it? What do you think about that?
Right. That's great. Now you're and if you might be the crazy BDSM guy and she might say, oh, actually, I'm a sub. Oh, no way. I'm a dom. I just didn't want to ask you straight up. Right? That could be the conversation.
Right? Exactly. And that conversation doesn't take long. Just imagine you had that conversation, right, Robbie? Like, imagine. Like, you find that out. All of a sudden, your sex is on another level. All of a sudden, like, I found a sub. What? Oh, hi. I like you.
Yep. Yeah, it's crazy to me how many people will end up in these relationships where they just don't talk about anything. Like, they don't even know. They might not even know. I wouldn't be surprised if there were a few relationships where one guy was a dom and the girl was a sub, and they didn't even know that because they never had to talk. And they're thinking the whole time, like, fuck, the sex is so vanilla, right? But you're worried that the other person is thinking, like, oh, wow, they must think I'm crazy. Like, no.
Right? No, man, they're looking for a freak just like you.
Totally. That's cool. So definitely. I wanted to ask you, also, I saw on your site you had some stuff on finding your passion. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so, man, so that's, I think for me, I mean, that's one of the sexiest things a guy can have. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 6 foot tall or 5 foot two. Passion is super sexy. It's contagious. It's charismatic. It can draw men and women into you. And it's something that And it's something that also in my coaching, I help guys find as part of their, you know, up in their dating skills and everything like that. And passion. So let me just say it like this, you know, sometimes people get passion and purpose confused. And for me, in my opinion, passion is that thing that you love to do. Purpose is the place in which you do that thing, the area in which you do that thing. And then when I coach, I take them through a quick little process of finding their passion. And, you know, it takes a couple minutes to go through, but the short version of it, how to find your passion, right, is to simply go like this, right? Think to yourself, what is the thing that you love to do? I don't care what it is. It could be video games. It could be rock collecting. It could be running or jogging, speaking, helping, whatever it is, anything that you love to do. And then the question to ask yourself is, okay, but under that, what are you really doing in that moment? What's really happening? All right. So, for example, if you ask me, one of the things is for me, like part of my job is to put on conferences, right? They're fun. I love putting them on. But if you ask me what's really happening, what am I really doing under the surface? What I'm really doing is putting on an experience. And that's my passion. That's like how I think about it. When I'm thinking about putting together a conference, I'm not thinking about a speaker. I'm not thinking about schedules. I'm thinking about an experience. And so for other people, it could be different. So, I mean, imagine you when you're coaching, like, yeah, you know, you're giving guys advice, but what's really happening under the surface? Like what's really going on there?
I guess there's something around connection, and maybe, you know, just showing someone. Yeah, I love to teach, I guess. It's fun for me to open someone's eyes to new things. So that could be some of the why underneath. It's kind of reminds me of a little bit of that the most popular TED talk ever, which is what is the why, or find your why with Simon Sinek. And, you know, you really get to the underlying issue of what it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's where it comes from. I mean, once you realize that, the things that you do in life are no longer the same. Now they have more meaning, they have more purpose. And now you know you're doing something just bigger than the everyday thing. I mean, with you, it sounds like to me, you know, when you're coaching, I mean, what you're really doing is setting others free while connecting.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
And I mean,
because for me, freedom is a. Thanks for telling me, by the way. Maybe I'll use that on my website. But yeah, that's definitely a buzzword for me. Is freedom, and for a lot of guys I coach too.
Yeah, Like, I see these things visually in my head. I'm a visual thinker, but like in hearing you talk, that's what I saw. You know, I saw you, in a way, like connecting with, you know, definitely connecting with people on a deep level, and then giving them tools and giving them strategies and philosophies that give them that freedom to be free from whatever their shit is, their limiting belief. And when you do, and then now, like in doing that, like you kind of, you like, And doing that, now life is different. And now, like when you talk to people, like for example, like one of the things I love doing with my guys, coaching them, is finding out their passion and then working that into their conversation. Because everyone always asks, "Oh, what do you do?" That comes up in every conversation. What do you do? Now, some guys, they may not have the awesome job. For me, at one point, I was selling like cable TV.
Right.
Not exactly something to brag. Not something to brag about. However. Right, but not super sexy. But what I did, and I would say like, oh yeah, you know, I work as a sales agent, but my real passion, what I love to do, is this. And then whenever I would say what my passion was, like you can see people's eyes, you can see the eyes of the women just light up and go, wow, really, that's fantastic. Because I'll tell you what, out of all the conversations, Robbie, I promise you, like out of all the conversations that these women have. And I've done this before. I just like sat next to a woman just to see all the guys approach and see. And I'm telling you, everybody's like, oh, what do you do? Oh, you know, I'm in banking. I'm in financing. That's boring. But when they see, oh no, I'm passionate about this, that's when the eyes light up. Why do you think women love rock stars? Why do you think they love celebrities and actors? Because they're knee deep in their passion.
For sure.
So if you could find yours and you're able to articulate it, man, that's one of the sexiest things you can do.
Any advice for guys who are maybe struggling to figure theirs out to get closer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's actually a great question. So the idea is just to start with something you like. One of the things that stops a lot of guys is thinking they have to get it right the first time. That they have to, you know, go, okay, this is my passion for the rest of eternity. No, it's not. Your passion may likely change as you go through the different stages in life. So what I would recommend is just pick something that you're interested in. Just pick something that one thing that lights you up, go in that direction and explore it. And then what will likely happen is that you'll find some part of it you don't like and some part of it you do like. So then you go in the direction that you do like. And then you keep doing that again and again and again. It's kind of like a journey and kind of carving it out until your passion starts to get revealed to you. The key is you're not going to find it by just sitting down and thinking about it. And you have to go and actually do something. Go pick something. It does not have to be perfect, and it could very well be the wrong thing. But here's what happens. You're going to figure it out. You're going to realize you're going to find your passion by figuring out what you don't like. Kind of like a process of elimination when tasting ice cream.
Right. I like that. That's good. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it's been awesome having you on, and we'll open up the line for questions in a second here. But before we do, you know, where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, sure. So you guys can go to my website, which is PabloJRosario.com, or you can connect with me on Instagram. It's Pablo.J.Rosario. You guys can find me there. DM me, friend me. We can, we can talk. You know, I'm friends with everybody. I just like helping people.
Awesome, man. So for the guys on the line, if anyone has questions, you can unmute yourself and bomb away. Just basically interrupt us, because we'll just keep talking. But sometimes people have questions, sometimes they don't. But yeah, where you're in? Are you still in New York, or not still? But yeah, where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, you're in LA. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for waking up early to do the show, because I know it's 8 a.m. over there, or it was. Now it's 9, right?
Yeah, it's 9. It's fine. I normally it works out, because I normally get up a little early anyway. You know, when you live in California, they convert you into waking up early, eating healthy, and all that good stuff.
Going to Canyon. Canyon.
Yeah. Oh, have you been?
Well, yeah, I used to live in L.A. For many years.
Okay.
And then I lived in New York as well, and I was kind of doing the bi-coastal thing. Trying to spend the nice weather, you know, the spring and the fall in New York, and typically the winter in LA. And then I was coming to Europe during the summer, and that was a pretty cool like circuit. But then I got too obsessed with Eastern Europe. So I decided to just, make Kiev my permanent location.
They got you, huh?
They got me. These Ukrainian girls wrote me in.
Oh, man. I do hear a lot of great things about Eastern European women. I hear a lot of great things about them.
Yeah, it's all true. So if you haven't been out here, you should make a trip.
No, I have. I've been to the Caribbean, Canada. I've been to Spain. Spain is very nice. It's very lovely. Very lovely over there. But I do want to make more trips, more into Europe, more into, you know, Eastern Europe, and possibly Asia and all that good stuff. And just, you know, see how things are done too, you know, just learn from different people, how they go about things, what are their philosophies and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Are you still doing stuff with Neil in the Style Life Academy?
No, I'm not anymore.
Gotcha.
I'm not anymore. I'm actually, I'm actually, doing more speaking. You know, that started to take up more of my time. That started to, build up. So I decided to chase down that opportunity and everything like that.
Anything more specific, more coaching you're doing to get speaking gigs, or are you putting them on yourself?
Yeah. From my days planning events and stuff like that, I've made friends and contacts and things like that. And so, you know, through them, I've been getting speaking engagements and things like that. You know, I have one. I'm talking to one friend over on the East Coast, back in New Jersey, that I was like speaking at his conference. There's another one happening. I gotta see what the date is, but I know it's this summer. One here in California, where I'll be talking on dating and relationships again as well. And so that's the idea, man.
It's got to get the content out there as much as possible, right?
That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea. And the thing is, too, I've been wanting to just add my two cents to it and everything. I know that, you know, a lot with all dating advice and things like that out there, too. I wanted to, you know, come up with a way, you know, make it as easy as possible, you know, even for the people that are really nervous, you know, but they, you know, they still want to have a social life. They still want to meet women and all that good stuff. And so, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, ways to make it happen, to make it easier. How can, you know, people feel more comfortable when they go out? How can they start meeting the women of their dreams? I mean, even as far as like, I have a friend of mine, he's actually a sexologist. And this is what I mean. Like, I'm getting information from everywhere, Robbie. I'm telling you. I have a friend of mine. He's a sexologist. And it was crazy. So he told me about something called the sexual blueprint. And I don't know if you ever heard about that.
No,
but,
I have not.
Yeah, so what he was telling me was that a good portion of time, like when it comes to, you know, sex and stuff like that, it's not that really that the sex was bad. It's just that you didn't understand each other's blueprint. And the blueprint is essentially like how you like to get warmed up and how you like to have sex. And once you understand that, it's like speaking their sexual language. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't know. He just knew how to touch me. He just knew how to get me going. And so there are four sexual blueprints. The first one, I believe, is sensual. Now, these people are really, I'm sorry. No, the first one is energetic. Like the name implies, it involves a whole lot of, you're not even touching. You're just more like hovering. You're just more hovering over their skin. So that way the warmth of your hand and your body just hovers over the warmth of theirs. And these people are like super sensitive. So any like rough grabbing or anything like that just completely shuts them down. Mm-hmm. Right? The second one is sensual. This is the one with just light teasing. And you're just grazing your fingers, really light touches. And these are the kind of people that they need to get out of their heads before they can get in their bodies. And if you can, out of their heads and into their bodies. The third one is sexual. These are the people that they get turned on by, you know, seeing body parts, you know, by seeing chest, ass, all that good stuff. You know, you can really massage their muscles. Like, that really does it for them. And the fourth one, I believe, is called taboo, if I'm not mistaken. And these are the people that, you know, like the kink, like the BDSM, all that fun stuff, if you will.
Right, and
if you're able to figure that out real nice and early, like that awkward sex period, you know, at the beginning where you are, where you're trying to figure out, like, okay,
yeah, you just kind of know what to do. That's great. Exactly. I mean, as you were explaining it, I think I'm a number two. Maybe I've trained myself to be more comfortable with three and four, or you know, some way to kind of unconsciously figure out what she is. So I hang out with a lot of girls who are in three and four, but so that's, it's all, yeah, that makes it easier. But
that's great.
That's good stuff.
Yeah,
that's really cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Once you find that out, I'm telling you right now, like when I first date a woman, at least for me, is, you know, I like to have fun, but also it's a way to see, like, okay, are we, would we work long term? Like, how are they like? For me personally. You know, I don't like when I was single, I didn't like, you know, just meeting, you know, going out every day, multiple women, which is nice and stuff like that. Like for me, I like to find the ones that I like and continue to have, you know, fun with them. And, And this would be one of the things. You know, we'd start the conversation. You know, I'd say, you know, one of my friends is a sexologist. He actually taught me this cool thing where these four sexual blueprints, I talk about them, demonstrate them, you know, and get their thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. And then likely, you know, then what would happen, then bam, you know, we're talking about sex in a non-horny way, because there's a difference, right? There's a difference between sexual and horny. Horny is kind of desperate, whereas sexual is, there's no neediness to it. You know, you're talking about it without wanting it. And so, you know, in talking about it, you get to know her. And then if the relationship got to the point where we were having sex, it was fun. It was relaxing. We let ourselves go. It wasn't that awkward, like, do you like it this way? Is this too hard, too soft? Like, not, because we already knew. And then once you know that, and not to mention, it'll be enjoyable for you.
Yeah, of course.
Enjoyable for you because... Yeah, because I mean, I know we want to make sure that they enjoy themselves, but I know we want to enjoy ourselves too. I mean, dang.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's definitely a fun thing to try out there.
Where'd you hear that? What's it called?
So my friend, one of my friends, he's a sexologist from Canada.
Yeah.
And he's the one who taught me. He's the one who taught me it. Yeah, he's the one who told me, but I'm sure you can Google it. If you Google the four sexual blueprints.
Four sexual blueprint. Okay.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to find it.
Well, awesome, man. I got to run, but it's been fucking awesome having you on the show. I really appreciate the, you know, you coming on and share all your wisdom and tips. We got some really good stuff.
Oh, I'm glad. No, and thank you so much for having me too. Like, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk. It's always cool when, you know, you're listening to somebody, then all right, I'm talking with them in person.
For sure, right?
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.